Good evening and welcome to Three Mile Wesleyan Church here in sunny Elkview, West Virginia on this Wednesday night, the 24th day of June 2026. We want to welcome all of our folks watching online, and mentioned this before, our folks watching online actually exceed the number of folks in our building. That's awesome. We think it's great that this broadcast, it's on Facebook Live, but it reaches a lot of people. We're able to save it to our website, which is back up and running. We appreciate you, and if you're looking for a church, we might be the one for you. We are a church that's here. We exist to bring praise and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we'd love to hear from you. If you're watching online, click that like button or comment button. And as always, we'd love to pray for you. Just a couple of quick announcements. This coming Sunday, if you are viewing us online and you are in the local area, you need to be here on Sunday. Pastor Bill Barr will be here. He's one of our primary applicants for our pastor position. He'll be here Sunday, the 28th. Also, he will be here on Wednesday as well. He'll be here for a total of 4 days. He's looking forward to meeting all of our folks, and he's prayed up, and we're looking forward to a great time meeting Pastor Bill. And should announce right after the morning worship on Sunday, if you'll be here, we've got some food. We've got, I won't even say what it is. We've got some great food planned. So be here on Sunday, meet Pastor Bill, get to hear a great message, and get a free meal afterwards. And we'd love for you guys to join us. The only other announcement I just want to mention, got a family in mourning right now. Some of you may have heard Pastor Ronnie lost his mother this past Monday, and we want to continue praying for them. There will be a service in West Virginia coming up later in the summer, and we'll provide more details when that time comes. All right. Tonight's devotional is entitled, Some Things Cannot Be Stopped. Some Things Cannot Be Stopped. And tonight we're continuing our study in the book of Acts. And Acts is the time period immediately following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, a few weeks ago we discussed the day of Pentecost and the apostles doing amazing things, speaking in tongues so that everybody could hear the gospel. And then after that, on another Wednesday, we saw Peter and John performing healing miracles. And all of these supernatural acts, they serve one purpose. And that purpose is to validate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you didn't catch those messages, they are available on our website, 3milewest.com. It's the number 3, 3milewest.com, which is back up and running after our team of tech experts worked feverishly to get it back up. We're up and running. And also for a short time, those Wednesday devotionals are also available on our Facebook page. Facebook changed their rules a while back. Only 30 days is available, so you can catch those. Everything in the last 30 days you can catch on our Facebook page. To go on and search for 3 Mile Wesleyan Church. All right, tonight we continue the story of the early church apostles performing signs and wonders to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as always, the old Jewish religious leaders, well, they still don't like it. They don't want to hear it. But they come to a curious consensus amongst each other, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. For now, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, I'll be reading from the New International Version. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Thus reads the word of God. Father, as we come into your house tonight, we give your holy Bible, God, the absolute highest honor. And Lord, we desire to lift it up and learn from it tonight, God, that teach us what you would have us to learn. Father, we are praying for a family in mourning, God, for Ronnie and his family. As always, God, when we have a death in the family, God, we ask that you grant them the peace that transcends all understanding. We praise you in Jesus' name. Through the Holy Spirit, God enables ordinary men, the disciples of Jesus Christ, to miraculously heal everyone who was brought to them. And their actions did not go unnoticed. They did not go unnoticed by the top dogs in the legacy Jewish religious sector. We keep reading in verse 17. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." So we're starting to see this repeated pattern emerging in the Bible. It goes like this. The world tries its best to stop the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then our God intervenes in miraculous ways. And then the gospel becomes shared even more and even more and even more. And more believers join in. Why? Because some things cannot be stopped. Let's continue reading in verse 21. At daybreak they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Verse 25. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. So, over a period of time, the legacy Jewish religious leaders, you know, they've learned that telling the disciples to shut up, telling them to shut your mouths, well, that doesn't work. They learned that threatening the disciples with their lives, well, that doesn't work. Throwing the disciples in jail, well, that doesn't work either. And you would think that by now these religious leaders would have figured it out. You would think that they would have connected the dots and made sense of it all. Not yet. So they bring in Peter and the other disciples for yet another interrogation. Interrogation begins verse 27. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Once again, Peter is telling these guys, what you just witnessed is the same thing that you witnessed before. It's the same story. The Lord is fulfilling Scripture with signs and wonders. You've seen the healings. You've seen the miracles. You're just not believing it. Peter says there's a purpose in all of it. And not only are you guys not getting it, not only are you not getting it, but you don't understand that some things cannot be stopped. These Jewish religious leaders are just boiling mad. But one of the Pharisees speaks up. And he says something very interesting. He makes an accurate assessment of this situation as we keep reading in verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Sorry if we didn't have that one. This Pharisee Gamaliel got it right. He says, "Guys, don't worry about it. If these disciples are for real, if what they're saying is legit, then it will last forever. On the other hand, if it's not real, then it'll die down eventually. You don't have to worry about it. If it's really from God, then we will not be able to stop it." Why? Because some things cannot be stopped. And this man is exactly right, this Gamaliel. He's exactly right. So, do we think that these guys are finally coming to their senses? Do we think that maybe they finally realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is legitimate? Do they bow down and repent and turn to God for salvation? Anybody want to take a guess? Anybody want to venture a guess? The answer is no. No, not quite. Not quite. And then we read verse 40. There we go. His speech, talking about, this is Gamaliel, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I just find it humorous that this guy comes up, this leader of the Sanhedrin, gets up and says, "Hey guys, disciples of Jesus, if it's for real, we won't be able to stop it. If it's from God, we won't be able to stop it. If it's from human origin, it'll die down. We don't have to worry about it." And so they listen to it, and then it says, oh, well, they had them flogged. So they decide to listen to this guy, but they decided to give the disciples a little beat down on the way out. You know, give them a little threats on their way out. A few death threats here and there on their way out. Well, I have to say, these guys are persistent. Persistently wrong, but they're persistent. You know, the Bible is clear. All the miracles, I'm going to say it again, all of the supernatural healings, all of the speaking in tongues, it has one purpose. And that purpose is to validate the message of the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the message that God enabled everyone to perform all of these signs and wonders to promote. That's the message. Why did God choose to allow these men to do miraculous works? Because the message of the gospel enables us to come into a relationship with Him. God desires a relationship with every single human being. He desires for us to draw near to Him through the person of Jesus Christ and through His sacrificial atonement. We've said it before from this pulpit, and we're going to say it again. There is only one way to God. There's only one way. We don't make the rules. God makes the rules. So when you hear people on TV saying there's lots of way to God, really? What did God say? God said there's one way. One way only. He gets to make the rules. We don't get to make the rules. And God gave us plenty of evidence. And all this evidence points to Jesus. And just like last time, this story does have a happy ending. You know, we read that more and more people hear the truth of the gospel and they respond in faith. The Bible says that more and more were added to their number every day. The gospel is working. The power of the gospel to change lives, to save souls, it's working. The early church is growing. The message is growing and growing. And as we continue reading in verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy a suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That's incredible. Did you catch that? These apostles just got flogged. They just got beaten. And what do? Do they complain that they're working hard for the Lord and nobody really appreciates them? Do they tell God, hey God, I don't know about this. Maybe the view's not worth the climb. Do they run away? Do they run away scared and go into hiding? No. The Bible says these guys are rejoicing. They're rejoicing because they consider themselves worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. That's incredible. That is simply incredible. Day after day, these disciples of Jesus continue speaking the gospel, telling everybody Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who was prophesied hundreds of years ago by the Old Testament prophets. Some things cannot be stopped. As we wrap up here, we know what happened to the disciples. You go outside of your Bible and you can read the history of what happened to these guys. History tells us that these disciples willingly suffered horrific deaths. Why? To make a name for themselves? Why? Because they wanted to mimic Jesus? No. No. They willingly suffered these deaths in order to promote the gospel message that they knew to be true without a shadow of a doubt. That's why they did it. And that's one of the greatest evidences for believing in Jesus Christ. It's one of the greatest evidences for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And even after these guys died, even after they died these horrible deaths, even those deaths did not stop the spread of the gospel all around the world. In fact, it did just the opposite. These guys became martyrs for the cause, and the gospel continued to spread all over the world just as Jesus desired for it to. God gave great power to those who shared the good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? So that everyone on earth can have an opportunity to hear the truth, to know the truth. And I, for one, am so very glad that the good news has reached me. Are you glad that the good news has reached you?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Some things cannot be stopped. As we close tonight, if anyone's hearing my voice has never turned to Jesus for forgiveness of their sins, I pray that today is the day of redemption. Today is the day of faith. Today is the day when you turn to God and say, God, I surrender all to you. I want to be a born-again believer. I trust in the Word. I trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe it to be true. And what great power God gave to the men who willingly died to promote this gospel message. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, what an amazing tribute, Father, that these men, these ordinary men, fishermen, blue-collar workers, God, you gave them amazing powers to do the unthinkable, God, to do healings and speaking in tongues and supernatural acts, God, to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, and it got the attention of the world. It spread throughout the world. And Father, here we are on the other side of the world in another hemisphere, and we have been blessed by the spreading of the gospel 2,000 years ago. We who are here in the United States have been able to hear this gospel, this same message of the resurrection of Jesus thousands of years later. Father, what an amazing gift you have given the world. Father, we thank you that you desire a relationship with everyone. Thank you for the salvation that you have given us that is free to us. Thank you for the righteousness that is imputed into our very souls, God, and our sins are placed upon the cross of Calvary. What an amazing gift, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you so much, Father, for your word. Thank you for preserving your word throughout this time that we may speak on it tonight. Father, we praise you in all these things. In Jesus' wonderful name.